www.thebrewingcommunity.com.
This summer, I had a goal. I had a goal to finish painting my house. It's a project that started last summer. And it's never going to happen. I'm just telling you. Things take a lot longer than you expect when you're working on stuff like that. It always takes like three times as long. But there were some interesting things that I learned in this process, things that relate to what we're talking about this morning. The paint color that we're using for the trim, it's kind of a pre-mixed, already done thing. And it's you didn't have to tint it. We didn't have to color it. It just comes right out of the bucket. And the color is actually called extra white, okay? Not too unusual. There are lots of colors like that out there, but extra white. And it's a really bright, vibrant white when you put it on the house. In fact, when you open the paint can, like beams of light come shining out of the bucket. Angels start singing. It's amazing. I'd open it for you here, but you know, I'm not ready to use this bucket yet, so we'll just leave that. But it's pretty amazing. Anyway, the problem, though, with this extra white trim paint is that every little speck of dust, every piece of debris or grass or leaf, any blowing things that land in it, they just find their way to the paint bucket. I mean, without fail. No matter how much I try to keep them out, it ends up in there. And those specks are so obvious against the extra white brightness that is in there that you can't hide them. Now, I share that story with you because I think today's question in our Tough Questions series is a lot like what I've been wrestling with this white paint and the debris. How do I keep from being changed by the world? Right? As followers of Jesus, we're supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to be a light in the darkness. But when we're in a dark, dirty world, how do we keep the darkness from affecting us? It's like trying to walk through a mudslide without getting our white suit or dress dirty, right? It's like keeping dust specks out of your extra white paint. So this morning's question, how do I keep from being changed by the world? Now, in order to address this, I want to look at one particular passage that we'll mostly focus in on today. And it comes from the powerhouse book of the Bible, Romans. Paul writing to the Romans, and it's Romans 12, 1 through 2. You can look it up in your Bibles, but it's also printed in your notes this morning, just so it's right there in front of you. And here's what Paul writes. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay? Now, if you've got this in front of you, I'm going to ask for you to join me. We're going to read that together because it's a lot of stuff in there. So we'll go through it one more time. So read out loud with me if you can. Here we go. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay. There are two key phrases or ideas in this passage that we're going to focus in regards to our question this morning. And the first one is the phrase where he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, the word body, or soma in this verse, refers to our physical body, right? Not incredibly complicated, that sort of thing, just our physical body. And Paul writes that we should present our physical bodies as a living sacrifice. So what is he meaning by that? What does it mean to use our bodies as a living sacrifice? Well, in the days before the time of Jesus in the Old Testament, God required people to offer animal sacrifices to account for sin. They would have to do these sacrifices on a regular basis, year after year, because the animal sacrifice itself really wasn't adequate to cover sin, at least not once and for all. And yet, in God's eyes, these sacrifices looked forward to a time where there would be a perfect sacrifice that could be made. And so he required them to do that. Now, in Jesus' death on the cross, his physical body became that perfect sacrifice. So we no longer have to offer a dead animal as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins to God. Instead, we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, and we find that forgiveness. However, we are supposed to offer our physical bodies as a living sacrifice for God, and we do that in the way that we live. So your body is what accomplishes your outward behavior, right? Our body is what accomplishes our outward behavior. If we think about that, it can be used for godly purposes or for sinful ones. For instance, some examples. It's your tongue that speaks words that can build others up or points them towards truth. But it can also be destructive and tear them down. Your hands can either do honest work or they can spread violence. Your body can express your sexuality, either in God's intended ways or otherwise. Our body is the vehicle for how we live, the way we act, and the things that we do. Okay? Maybe you've heard the kids' song. I don't know if some of you might remember this. Some of you maybe have never heard it before. But there's a kids' song that I don't know what the actual title of it, but, you know, Be Careful Little Eyes, right? You ever hear that one? Be careful little eyes what you do. Oh, be careful little eyes what you do. For the Father up above, he is looking down with love. Oh, be careful little eyes what you do. I'm not going to make you sing this with me, okay? No, I'm not going to make you sing. Well, if you want to, you can. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above, he is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. And be careful, little mouth, what you say. It's not that funny. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Maybe my singing is... For the Father up above, he is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, hands, what you do. Be careful, eyes, what you see. Be careful, mouth, what you speak. And here's the idea. We're supposed to keep our body from doing things that they shouldn't do. Okay? We're supposed to keep our body from doing things it shouldn't do. You might hear that song and think of it as a warning not to do something bad, because God is watching. He's ready to strike you down for what you're doing wrong. Okay, like a warning, don't do these things. And there is some truth to that. But the spirit in the song is this. Hey, God loves you. He's looking at you and loves you and wants you to live your life as a living sacrifice. So be careful of the things that you do. Live in a way that is holy and acceptable to God, Paul says. Now, he goes on to say that when we live that way, that's our spiritual worship. Right? That's an act of worship. We honor God. We express love for him and affection for him in what we do with our body. Now, have you ever thought about your physical body in that way? I mean, do you ever think about the fact that this physical body is our living sacrifice, our opportunity to be a living sacrifice to God? That our outward behavior, the work that our hands do, the things that our eyes see, the words that our mouth says, every action we use our body for, it's all an offering, it's all a living sacrifice to God. Okay, so you have to keep your body from doing the things it shouldn't and be a living sacrifice to God. The second phrase in here, so that's about your body. The second phrase in here is be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Okay? Now the mind, the word for mind there refers to our capacity to think and reason. It refers to the capacity to think and reason. Now it doesn't just refer to your brain as an organ. It's not about your ability to absorb facts and data. It's not facts and figures or information that goes in there. It refers to how we interact with all that information. In Ephesians, Paul even speaks about being renewed in the spirit of our mind. All right, so your mind, it refers to your inward attitude. Okay, your mind refers to our inward attitude. Now here's the reality. No matter how hard we try to keep our body from doing what it shouldn't do, if you only address the surface and you're only trying to fight on the level of our actions, we're going to fail. Because the real battle starts in our minds. So that's why Paul writes what he does here. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Because our mind determines what our body does. Okay, when our minds reflect God's way of thinking and what he wants for us, when we come to know God's will, what's good, what's perfect, what's acceptable in his eyes, then the actions of our body will follow. The problem is the battle for our minds kind of starts on day one, doesn't it? From the moment we're born in this world, the world is trying to shape our way of thinking into something other than what God desires. It's easy for us to be squeezed by the world into the mold of what it wants us to be. But Paul said, look, don't be conformed or squeezed into that mold, but be transformed. Our minds need to be changed from a way of worldly wisdom to earthly thinking and to spiritual wisdom and godly thinking. Okay, that's why Paul writes things like this in a few other places in Scripture. Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Colossians 3, he says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. In 2 Corinthians 10, he says, tells us we have to take every thought captive to the mind of Christ. And it's not just Paul who writes this. Jesus, if we think about what Jesus said, when asked about the greatest command in all the Old Testament, he pointed to one particular verse or passage, and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It's why Peter tells us in 1 Peter, prepare your minds for action and be sober-minded. Okay, all of these verses are suggesting this. We have to keep our minds focused on the things it should be. Keep your mind focused on the things it should be. Okay, so keeping ourselves, the question of how do I keep myself being changed by the world has to do with, first of all, getting our body, our outward behavior, to act like God wants us to, but our minds and our inward attitude to set the pace for that. So it's getting our mind and our body to behave the way God wants. Now, that's easier said than done, right? And I came across a video that just shows exactly how hard it can be despite our determination to get it done. So we're going to take a few minutes and watch this really helpful instructional video on changing our behavior. Let's take a look. Now, I think that's one of the things that we often feel in our life is simply we're dealing with many things or areas that we might want to see change in, that we're trying to become the person that God wants us to, and the idea is, well, just stop doing what it is that we're doing wrong. Just start doing the right things. But it is such a battle. So this morning, rather than just giving you the simple advice of, hey, it's important that we follow God, so whatever it is you're doing that is being changed into what the world says, stop it. We want to go and maybe a little more practical advice. All right? So here are some practical steps that I think can help in regards to keeping ourselves being changed by the world. And some of these might seem, well, maybe as simple or obvious as these, but maybe a little more helpful. First of all, know God's Word. Right? Know God's Word. That's a great starting point, because in order to keep from being changed by the world, we have to know the difference between God's ways and the world's ways. We've got to be able to distinguish that. The Bible is the primary tool by which we come to know God's will for our lives. It's how we learn what is God's ways, and it's how we know what he wants from us. It's how we know how to keep on track with that. So how do we know what God wants in regards to our outward behavior? How do we know what God wants in regards to, our speech or our morality or our conduct? Well, we find that in His Word. How do we know the way He feels about certain issues or subjects, like loving other people, or our financial management and giving, or sexual purity, things like that? We find it in His Word. We've got to know God's Word. We've got to make it a habit of being in God's Word. If you're not doing that on a regular basis, let me encourage you, be in God's Word. Once you're in God's Word, stay in God's Word. Be continually putting it in to you. Be continually reading it. If you get off track and fall out of line with keeping up with reading God's Word, get back in the habit of doing it. It's so crucial because it's the starting point of understanding what it is God actually wants from us versus the way we live our lives. So first thing is know God's Word. The second practical thing is this: be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. And here's what this is getting at. If you're saying and asking yourself this tough question, how do I keep from being changed by the world? The first thing we probably want to ask is, are you sure you haven't already been changed by the world? Right? How are there areas of your life where you're already into a pattern that is the world's pattern and not God's ways? Last summer when we started our painting project, I used about 5 gallons of paint on the garage, a couple coats on the garage, got about a third of the way through the house. We went back, got some more paint, began painting again, and a day later I went and I looked at the house and went, wait a second, those two colors are different. That was kind of a big problem because I thought, oh, they gave us the wrong color. Went back to the paint store. As it turns out, the second batch was the right color. The first batch was all the wrong color. So the garage and a third of the house all painted the wrong color. Now, by all accounts, as we were painting it, it seemed like the right color. We kept on going, kept on doing the work, kept on going right down the path of painting the entire house in that color. All the while, it was the wrong color. And I think, is that what we do sometimes in our spiritual life? Right? We're painting, we're doing the best we can, we're moving along, but we aren't really honest about the fact that, you know what? What we're painting is the wrong color in our life. It's the wrong, we're doing that spiritually. Matthew 6, 22 through 23, Jesus is warning that we don't always see things clearly like we should. He said, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Most likely there are areas in our life where we're already conforming to the patterns of the world. We just don't realize it. So we've got to take the time to be honest with ourselves and recognize or explore, in what ways have I unknowingly been conformed to the patterns of this world instead of God's ways? In what ways has the world changed me already? All right? Make sure we're painting with the right color paint. Also, a few weeks ago, I was getting more and more frustrated as I was working, painting the house with this white, extra white trim paint. I was being super cautious about everything that I was doing, trying to keep these little specks and things out of it. I would throw a rag over the bucket when I had to hoist it up the ladder. I was making sure everything was clean, all that sort of thing. I was working in an area where there was a lot of trees and bushes and blowing dirt and that sort of thing. I was really trying hard to keep this paint clean. And I was failing constantly at it. I would look at the paint bucket and go, how did that stuff get in there? I had cleaned my brush real well. I had cleaned the bucket itself real well, all of that. And after a while, I realized there was one obvious thing that I missed. As I was hauling up a paint bucket, it was a little different than this, but so I was hauling up a paint bucket, this little hook right here was scraping dried paint off the handle of the bucket right down into the bucket. I had cleaned everything. I was being super cautious, but I missed something that was completely right in front of me, and that was the problem. You may be wanting to be more like Christ in areas of your life. We all want that. But we may not realize that there's an area right in front of us that we're totally off track in. Right? We've got to pay attention to those things. Are we willing to take a good, hard look at our life and examine it for the things that aren't right or the things that don't belong? Or are we only giving God access to this, well, I've got this problem in one area that I want to give God an opportunity to work on? It's important that we get really honest with where we're really at, okay? So, you know, the first thing is we've got to know God's word so we know the difference between God's ways and the world's ways. The second thing is we've got to be really honest with ourselves about where we're really at. The third thing is get serious about change, okay? Get serious about change. It's pretty broad, but Paul said this, don't be conformed to the patterns of the world, be transformed. Now, it's interesting that Paul mentions being transformed and being conformed in this same passage of Romans. Little Greek geekness here for you. Both of those words are in a specific form or tense. They are in the present passive indicative tense. All right, and you're all going, whatever, I don't care. Well, it actually is significant. That means it's something that's happening now in the present, but it's also an ongoing process that continues to happen. That's the indicative. But also, it's as a passive thing, it means it's something that's happening to us, not necessarily something we're doing or bringing about ourselves. So, meaning this, right now, we are either in the process of being changed and transformed by God, right now, in an ongoing process, being the work being done by God in us, or we're in the process of being conformed to the world. So we've got to ask ourselves, which one are we in? And which way do we want to go? You've probably heard it said, I've said this many times, I think a lot of times in our spiritual journey, in our walk with Christ, we're either growing to be more like Christ, or we're probably sliding back. Because it's awful hard just to maintain exactly where we're at. So we're either moving forward or moving back. And I think that's what Paul's getting at here. We're either being transformed and changed to be like Jesus, or we're conforming to patterns of the world. So we've got to choose which way we're looking to go. Just like my painting project, it's never going to get done if I'm not serious about making it a high priority. In the same way, if you really want to change, we've got to be serious about that and pursue being transformed by God. Which brings to the fourth point, which is this, give God a real chance. Give God a real chance in our life. God typically doesn't force his way in to do the work in us that he wants. He's looking for us to be available and open to him doing that work. He doesn't often come down and strike us with lightning or smack us over the head with a 2x4 to get us to change. He's looking for us to have spirits that are open and cooperating and pursuing him. Right? He wants us to cooperate with him, to allow him to work in us and through us. So we've got to make ourselves available to God. We've got to put ourselves in positions where he can work on us. You know, practical ways, again, back to God's word, spend time every day with God. Be in his word. Be in prayer. That's important. It's about that relationship between you and him. Make church a priority because it's where we get to learn and grow and be challenged together and worship him and express our love for him in a community. Get in a connection group that will be happening this fall. Ask other people to pray for you in these areas that you're looking for growth. And that means, you have to talk to people about it. You have to tell them what's going on. Find an accountability person, someone that you can stay in contact with that's challenging you and asking you how you're doing in these areas. And by the way, I would say this is a challenge for anybody who's asked for accountability and found out that the person they asked for doesn't really help them all that much. I've been there, and I know I've been on the other end of it where I've let people down. If you're serious about change, and you ask for someone to be an accountability person for you, and they can't do it, find somebody else. Right? You take the initiative. This is about you wanting to grow and change. So don't blame them. Don't point the finger at them. Well, my accountability person never called. No, you find someone. Find someone who's really going to help you. Okay? And I say that out of a lot of guilt because I know people ask me that and I have a tough time with it. I'm not that organized. I don't keep on top of things. So find someone who can help. Find someone who will. Now, these aren't the only things, but when we're actively pursuing God, it gives him a chance to work in our lives in a powerful way. Okay? So get serious about change. That's important. But you also got to give God a real chance to work. And then here's just the last thing. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times when we mess up, we think the answer is to try harder. It's almost like that video. Oh, just stop it, right? We just got to stop. We just got to do it in our own strength and our own power. So we often try that. We try to power through it. We try to muscle it on our own strength, you know, like we kind of take on a Nike attitude, right? Just do it. We can just do it. We can do it in our own strength and power. That's never going to get it done. Our minds, the inward attitude of who we are, determines our body's outward behavior. So we need a strength that's going to come from within. Not within our own power, but something that's going to work deep inside of us to provide us the power and the strength that we need to see that change come around. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Paul understood this. And in fact, he prayed for people of Ephesus. There's a prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. And it's actually a pretty loaded prayer. I just want you to hear a few of the words that are key in this prayer because I think this is what speaks to this idea of relying on the Holy Spirit. And here's his words. It's printed in your notes. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." He wants us to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being. Right? We've got to rely on the Holy Spirit for strength. And I think that's my prayer for us this morning, that our efforts to keep from being changed by the world, we wouldn't be just trying to power through it in our own strength, because we'll never accomplish it. And then we find ourselves in a place where we're filled with regret and disappointed because we weren't able to accomplish it. But through us, God can do this. By his Spirit, God can do this. So our prayer this morning, my prayer this morning, is that God would strengthen you in your inner being by the Holy Spirit, because his strength is never going to fail in us. I want to take a moment and just pray. If there's an area in your life that comes to mind where you're thinking, I know God wants to work on me in this particular area, I want to pray for that as that comes to mind for you. I also want to pray that we would be open to other areas that God wants to reveal in our life, and that we would be wide open to that. And I'll pray for strength by the power of the Holy Spirit to be working in you as we pray. And then after our time of prayer, there's just a few communication things that we'll pass on to you before we go. So let's pray. Let's take a moment. Father God, we do thank you that you have a desire for us to become more and more like Jesus, and you have a desire to see that worked out in our life. We thank you that you just see great potential for us in what we are to become, and you want to bring it about in us. Father, this morning we pray that we would surrender not just our bodies, our outward actions to you, that we wouldn't do the things that we do just to be pleasing to you in a form of works, in a form of self-effort, but that we would also be allowing you to work inside of us, in our inner being, in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirit. And God, we pray for these things that come to mind as we talk about how not to be changed by the world. And we know that there's a barrage of things around us that are affecting us. We want to surrender them to you. We want to ask for you to set us in the right path on these things,
that we would be looking to live according to your word, that we would allow you to bring about the change in us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would give us strength to step into the kind of life that you call us to live, and that we would continue to rely on you to do this, because we know our own strength is insufficient, and we will fail. But your love is perfect, your work in us will be complete, and you will take us to where it is you long for us to be as we rely upon you. Help us, Father, to be cooperative with the Spirit that wants to be transformed, that wants to be changed according to what you want for us, and that isn't content to just let the world squeeze us into its mold and to shape us in a way that you don't want. So these things that are on our heart this morning, God, we pray that you would work in these areas of our life. We lift them before you and ask that you help us to surrender our minds so that we can live in a way that's a living sacrifice to you. Thanks for our time this morning. Thanks for our time to worship and our time to consider your words. Move us forward, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.